Today's shiur is Masechta Matzei Daf Ayin Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph at the top of Amud at the Mishnah. It teaches us the Mishnah Layoma Adam L'Chaveray. Somebody may not say to someone else, Haveni Korchitin, lend me a core of wheat, Vani Etam L'Cha, and I will give you a kor L'Goyrin when the Chitin will be completely grown and processed, because one may not say this because there's a concern that the price of chitin will go up. And if the price of chitin will go up, it'll turn out that you returned more than you borrowed, and therefore you may not do so. And as the Rishonim point out, Tosfos points out, that even though it's not common that's what happens, still, since there's a possibility for that to happen, it's enough to be considered chitin. Aval, what you may do is say, Oimaloi, the person who's borrowing the chitin may say to the person who he wants to lend them chitin, Halveni, lend me some chitin achiyava bani until my son comes, oyachem sa mavtech until I find the key. And the Mukhe Yosef says it's not necessary that he should even have to say this. As long as he has chitin that he could pay back immediately, once he has chitin that he could pay back immediately, the fact that he says it or doesn't say it is immaterial. And then Mukhe Yosef says even if the malva is not aware that he has chitin, as long as he had chitin, according to the Mukhe Yosef, as long as he had chitin when he was asking to borrow chitin, that is enough. The Bach disagrees. And the Bach says, in order to avoid any question of ribis, then the halacha is you have to have those chitin. And if you don't have those chitin, it will not be, you can't borrow on that basis. The Hillel Oyser, and Hillel's opinion is, that even if you have chitin, and presumably even if both parties are aware of that, it would be insufficient. Why is the difference if you have chitin or you don't have chitin? Because when you have chitin, when the borrower has chitin, it's considered as if he's selling him his chitin at this moment when he's lending him his chitin. So therefore, it already becomes the malvus. And since at the moment of the transaction, based on the way we just described the transaction, it's considered as if he already has the chitin. So since at that moment it's considered that they made a transaction, there's no loan here, and therefore it's permissible. However, the Rambam is of the opinion, in order to avoid any question that it looks improper, the Rambam says, you're not allowed to fix a time by when you're going to return what you borrowed. Because if you're going to fix a time by when you're going to return what you borrowed, so that looks very much like a loan. That's the difference between something which is a loan and which is not a loan. So to avoid any marasayin that it looks improper, don't speak about it in the terms of a loan. Continues the Mishnah, Ken Hayahil, Oimer, so too the Hill say, Leitalva Isha Kika Chaverta, a woman may not lend a loaf of bread, Acha Taseh Domim, until they determine what is the value of the bread, and whatever is the value of the bread, that's how much the person has to return that value of the bread. For we need to be concerned, as we just discussed, Shema Yukro Chitim, maybe the price of wheat will go up, and if the price of wheat goes up, so when she's going to be, the price of bread will go up. So when she's returning the bread, Nimtza Bala Dei Ribis, we have a situation of ribis. And this Mishnah that we just discussed is what we've been discussing throughout our perek, is considered saw b'saw. You're not allowed to borrow even a certain amount that you're going to return that amount because it could turn into at least ribbis derabbanan. Here too, in this case of the loaf of bread, I saw machlokes rishonim. The Ramban's opinion is that in this case, unlike the previous case, we learned in the previous case of Yeshlai, if you have what you're borrowing, that would be adequate. Here, the Ramban seems to say, I'm not exactly sure why, that it wouldn't make a difference. Even if you have it, it won't help you. Other Rishonim see no reason to differentiate. And if at the time that the loan is taking place, she has such a loaf of bread, that's going to be good enough that there wouldn't be a problem of assault. The Tanit Kama spoke from the Loivis perspective. Loyom l'chaveri chaveni. Hillel spoke from the Malvis perspective. Loitava ishel chaverta. The Tanit Kama is holding because he doesn't have the bread. And therefore, when the loiva comes to borrow, he has to have, if he by saying that I have chitin, it makes a mutter. Whereas according to Hillel, it doesn't make a difference, and that's why he looks at it from the loiva's perspective. Amar Rav Huna, yeshle saw. If I have a saw, then we just learned in the Mishnah the heter of yeshle, and therefore says Rav Huna, yeshle saw. If I have a saw, which is the mount I am borrowing, loiva love saw, so I'm entitled to borrow a saw. If I have sosayim, if I, the loiva, have sosayim, loiva sosayim, I'm entitled to borrow sosayim. Rav Yitzchak is much more lenient. He says, Rav Yitzchak Omer, afilu yesh le saw, even if I only have one saw, the loch is lova lo kamakurin, because we don't really have to have that the loiva is giving the malva what he has. Because as we've been learning, as long as he has it, that transfers this transaction from being a transaction of a halva to be a transaction of a mekach or memker. And the way that happens is if I have something that I can represent that I'm selling. And therefore, says Rabbi Yitzchak, it's adequate that I should just have even the same, just a minimal amount. As long as I have a minimal amount, it turns it into a legitimate transaction. There's an interesting discussion that many Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael discuss. In Eretz Yisrael, people, the currency is shekel, but many people also operate with a dollar, with dollars. And the question that the Paiskim discuss is, could you borrow a dollar towards a dollar? Do we look at dollars as currency? Or do we, and that's a straw, do we look at dollars as a commodity? And according to what we're learning now, even if you'll say that a dollar is considered an Eretz Yisrael, since it's not the local currency, so the dollar in Eretz Yisrael is considered a commodity, not a currency, but according to what we just learned in our Gemara, if you have $1, then you could borrow as many dollars as you want, even if there's a concern that the value of the dollar, even if there's a concern that the value of the dollar will fluctuate. Tanei Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya quotes a brisa, L'sayul Reb Yitzchak, that supports what Reb Yitzchak said. Tipas yain eloi. That in the case that, as we've been discussing, am I allowed to borrow wine from somebody else to pay him back wine? So the halacha is, tipas yain eloi. If I don't have a drop of wine, if I don't have a drop of oil, ha, isn't this indicative, says the Gemara, ha yeshla, as long as I even have just one drop of wine or one drop of oil, then that we have Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha, and the halacha will be lova lo kamatip, and we could do this type of transaction. So this is clearly supportive of what Rabbi Yitzchak said. But we learned in the Mishnah, the Hillel is Machmer, Hillel Iser. Amar Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Divrei Hillel, that the Halacha follows the opinion of Hillel. However, says the Gemara, the less Hilchas HaKavasei, the Halacha is not like Hillel, the Halacha is like the Tanakama, that Saw B'Saw is Mutter, Im Yeshloi, not only is the Halacha that Saw B'Saw is Mutter, Im Yeshloi,
But actually, the halacha is saw is mutter, even if he has a minimal amount, that's enough to make it mutter. The ken hayomer, and based on that, Hill taught us leitavi isha, a woman may not lend to another woman a loaf of bread, because there's a concern that when she'll pay back the loaf of bread, it'll be more valuable, it'll be more expensive, and he doesn't hold of yeshlei. Poshe pshat. Amar Rav Yudam Shmuel, divrei Hillel. The Hillel did not allow to borrow a loaf of bread, is the opinion, even though you're going to pay back a loaf of bread, is the opinion of Hillel. Avcham Oimrim, the Chum hold, lovim stam, that you could borrow bread, parim stam. And even if by the time I pay back the bread, the price of bread goes up, it doesn't make a difference, it's mutter. And there's a very interesting Taisus, and the Beis Yosef quotes the Taisus, that this halacha is even if ein loy. And the reason one can be lenient is because if Yotza Ashar, if it has a fixed price, we've been also learning that it's a reason to be lenient by saw basaw. If you have a group of people who are traveling together or sitting together, and they each have their own food, they're very particular. And when they lend to each other, they make sure to they know exactly how much they're lending, because I'm not ready to take back a drop less than what I lent you. If they do so on Shabbos on Yontif, if they're over Mishamida, you're not allowed to measure, and Mishamishko, you're not allowed to weigh, or Mishaminyon, you're not allowed to count in a way that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Mishum love and apart on Yontif, and if you pay back, you'll violate the Issa of paying back on Yontif. And Kedivrei Hillel, that Hillel says that the saw is always Osir, then the Aloch is that aim af mishum ribis. So the posh pshat in the Gemara is that all of these asurim are there on Shabbos. These are things you're not allowed to measure and weigh on Shabbos. But the Ravid has a very interesting pshat in this Gemara. The Ravid says that even during the week, the Gemara is teaching us you may not do so, because since the individuals we are speaking about in our Gemara are so particular, and you may not get back the right amount, and the Torah says loisasa ova b'mida b'mishko b'mesura. So in a case where people aren't so particular, so they're meichel to each other. In a case where they're particular, they're not meichel. And since they're not meichel, that's why they have, the Ravid says it may not be done even on during the week. The Gemara Masech Tabei Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph teaches us the muta adam loim lechaver b'yontif malali kleize. On yontif, I could come and borrow something. B'vad shalayisk leishem amida. As long as I don't say how much I'm expecting. So why, asked Taisus, does Agamar say you may not do so? So Taisus explains that since we're talking about people, as we just finished saying, who are particular, said so they're so particular, they may end up mentioning the measure that they're looking to borrow. And as we just learned, if you mention the amount that you're borrowing, that's obviously usur on Shabbos. And then Taisha says, even if we're not concerned, they're going to mention the amount. But since those are the type of people we're speaking about here, so when you say klizeh, included in saying klizeh is the amount that you want to is the amount to borrow, and therefore it's usur. Taisus also asks that from here it seems that only these people may not do so, but the halacha is that you're not allowed to use a scale on yontif. So what's pshat here? So Taisus says that here they're not using a scale, but the Gemara means to say because these people are so particular, they may come, and they're not going to give anything away without knowing exactly, they may come to use a scale. They may come to use a scale. Vamar Yudam Shmuel, Tamid Chachamim, Matarim Lavasab, Mizab Aribis. Tamid Chachamim may lend and borrow with ribbis. My Tama, says the Gemara, made the idea of the ribbis asura. They're well aware the ribbis is asur, and when they give each other a little more than the title, it's mitanu diava dadi. And therefore, says Tosfos, they're only allowed to give a little more, but you're not allowed to give a significant amount more. That becomes ribbis. Moreover, the Ramban says that the case that the Gemara is referring to here is a situation where they're eating together, and you have a group of people who are eating together, and they're sharing the food, and therefore one may end up giving the other one a little more. But since, as we just finished explaining, it's part of a meal, and not only is it part of a meal, that we're speaking about people who are not particular with each other, that's why it's mutter. So if that's the case, I saw that the Rishonim explained that, so why is this heter limited to Talmid Chachamim? So one pshat that I saw is that once the Gemara gave us this option, we need to be concerned that people are going to abuse it and use it as a way to give ribbis. By Talmid Chachamim, we're not concerned. Another pshat, that's what the Sefer Truma suggests. The Ramach suggests that since Talmid Chachamim are the type of people that are soinim etonis, they don't like to get a gift for free, we're not concerned that they're going to become accustomed to do this, which could lead them to ribbis. The Chassam Sofer, however, says that what happens in our Gemara is that the malva doesn't give it to the loiva as a loan. When the malva gives this food to the loiva, he's giving it to him as a gift. And when the loiva is returning it, he's also returning it as a gift. And therefore, there's no ribbis question because it's all a gift. We've just explained why Chazal were lenient by Talmid Chachamim, and based on this, I saw that the Beis Yosef and other Rishonim say both the Malva and the Loiva in this type of situation that we just discussed have to be Talmid Chachamim. It's inadequate that only one of them should be a Talmid Chacham. Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel said, "Lavu bar I, havein mem pilpilin, lend me 100 pilpilin, and I will return to you meiv esrim pilpilin. I will return to you 120 pilpilin v'orich, and it's proper to do so because it's just like we said that since the Talmid Chachamim they're not so particular, and since they're not particular, they could do so." And the Meiri says that what Shmuel just taught us is really a very big extension of what we just learned. Because Shmuel is saying, not only may Talmid Chachamim do so, they may even explicitly say to do so. But there are other Rishonim that say, saying that we're doing it is not permissible. Moreover, there are Rishonim that say that even though we're learning the special heter that applies to Talmid Chachamim, the Rishonim suggest it can't be more than 20%. And that's what happened over here. It was he gave him 100 and he got back 100. He got back 120. It wouldn't be permissible to give back any more than 120. I saw a different pshat. The seif and the tzaytzi are, we learned for aruch, it's the proper thing, it's permissible to be done. As we've been learning the Gemara, it's permissible for Talmid Chachamim to act this way. But I saw that the Seif and the Tzaytzi R says that the word Aruch is the Rosh Tevis Vavak Ribis Yeshkan. And what Shmuel was saying is that in this situation, we should not be so quick to be lenient. It's still not permissible. Even Talmid Chachamim, it's going to be considered Avak Ribis. Amar Yudam Arav, Mutar La'odam La'havos Banav Ubnei Beisai. A person may lend to his family members with ribbis, k'dei latimam tam ribbis, that they should understand, they should get a taste of ribbis. V'la milsehi, it says the Gemara, that's actually incorrect. for we need to be concerned shem da'asa l'misrach. That what's going to happen is they're going to get accustomed to doing ribbis. They're not going to see ribbis as a negative. They're going to see it as a positive. And the way Rashi explains is that, of course, it can't be done by ribbis. It should seem like it's ribbis. There's never a heter just because you want to train your children to do something wrong. It's being done in a way that looks like ribbis, but it's not really ribbis. Ritva explains that since we're speaking about children that are supported by their parents, and children that are supported by their parents, it's one family, that's why it's not considered ribbis. The Sefer Trumas, along the same lines, says that the children that are being referred to in our Gemara are children that are young children who are completely supported and part of their father's parents' home. And that's why it's not really considered ribbis. The Sefer Panim Yafes and Parshas Bahar says, the Pasuk says, Hoido, we say it every day, Hoido al Eretz v'shamayim v'yorin keren l'amay, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael the schar for the mitzvah, the keren, the principle, is given in Olam Haba, v'peiris b'olam hazeh. So the question is, if that's the case, why is this considered? Why is that not considered ribbis? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, observes Kol HaTorah Kula. So he says, that's Peshat in the Pasuk. L'bnei Yisrael, Hodol Eretz Hashmayim, V'yaron Keren La'amoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us schar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us ribbis, but we are L'bnei Yisrael Am Kerovoy. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And we just learned that the Gemara suggests with children, there is no problem of ribbis. And that's why Tehillah L'chol Chasidav. That's what we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his relationship to us and his attitude towards us is like we are his children. And since that's his attitude and relationship to us, that's why we're entitled to get so much schar for the mitzvahs that we observe. Says the Mishnah, I'm Adam L'chaveroi. One person may say to another person, Nacheshimi, weed out the bad, see the bad grass today. We'll work together today. And I'll work with you tomorrow. Or adorimi, shovel with me today. Va'edor imcha, and I will do so for you tomorrow. Because since what I'm doing for you and you're doing for me is equivalent, since what we're each doing for each other that is equivalent, that's why it's permissible. But now I saw the Rishonim ask, but maybe the price of work will go up. And if the price of work will go up, why is it different than saw beset? So that's why the Ravid says that since I could technically work with you today already, so that's already considered like yeshloi. And as we learned at the beginning of our shiur today, that even though saw besaw is asur, in a case of yeshloi, it's not a problem. However, says the Mishnah, layoy maloy, one may not say to someone else, nachesh ami, you will pour out the bad grass, v'eder mach, or vice versa, adar mi v'akashimach, that since the two jobs that they're undertaking are not the same, so we're concerned that one job might be more difficult than the other, and therefore, then it really looks like ribbis. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, kol yimei agrid, the entire summer, the summer is called grid because the land is dry, echad, are considered one season, and we could trade, I work with you today, and you work with me tomorrow. Kol yimei harviya, the entire winter, which means that it's wet, the ground, is achas. However, says the Mishnah, Layomer Charoshimi Begrid, you plow with me in the summer, Vani Echrish Imcha Brevi, and I'll work with you in the winter. Because it's much harder to plow in the winter than it is to plow in the summer. And Rashi explains that what the Mishnah comes to teach us is that as long as they make this type of a deal, that's going to be in the same time of the year, we need not be concerned where maybe my field is bigger than your field. It's understood that the two fields have to be more or less the same size. Now, Gamliel Eimer, Yesh Ribis Mekdamis, there's a situation of Ribis Mekdamis, Yesh Ribis Mucheres, and there's also a situation of Ribis Mucheres. Ketzad, Nasa Enel Lahalvis Manim, I want to borrow money from you. So I send you a gift, and I say, the reason I'm sending you this gift is b'shvil shetalveini, in order that you should lend me money. That, says the Mishnah, is considered zuhi ribis mukdemes. That's considered ribis mukdemes. And lavei mena, continues the Mishnah, if I borrowed money from you, and I return what I borrowed, and then, after I returned what I borrowed, I send you a gift, and I say, I'm giving you a gift because you let me have your money and you didn't earn money on your money. That's, so even though it wasn't given at the time of repayment, still it's considered ribis mucheres and it's mutter. Here we learned that people could trade working. I saw Rav Moshe Sternberg says that based on this, that let's say you have two people that are rabbeim in a yeshiva and one needs to take a day off, he could ask his friend, you take over my class today and I'll take your class over tomorrow. And Moshe Sternberg says, very much in line with what we've been learning, even though the classes are not necessarily the exact same amount of students, and some classes are easier classes, and some classes are more difficult classes, all of that need not be taken into consideration. The Bris Yehuda says that even if they didn't explicitly say, I'll take your class today and you'll take my class at another time, as long as he said that when you will need a favor, I'll be there for you, it's good enough. Shimon, I'm a yesh ribis devarim. There's another halacha called ribis devarim, which means the loiva may not tell the malva da ki ba ish plenim and makim plenim. A person should not say because you were nice to me is so I'm going to give you inside information that this person is coming from this area, and it pays for you to know that. There's a machlokes rishonim that we're learning now about ribis devarim. The machlokes rishonim is ribis devarim and is a deraisa, or is ribis, that's the opinion of the rivash, or is ribis devarim only an issa derabbanan, that's the opinion of the ran. But our Gemara clearly taught us that you have to be careful in the thank yous, how you speak to somebody. So Reb Shlomo Zalman, in his Svarim, seems to be going back and forth. There are many Paiskim that are of the opinion that saying thank you, explicitly saying thank you, is Osir. However, saying Tiskul Mitzvahs is, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, in the Micha Shlomo, in Chelek Aleph Simen Chav Zayin, not acceptable. In Chelek Bnei Simen Samaches, Reb Shlomo Zalman has much more of a lenient opinion, and he's saying if you don't say an explicit thank you, as long as, even though it's clear that you mean to thank the person, that is good enough. Ramosha, we've quoted this tshuva of Ramosha. Ramosha, in discussing the Shaila, takes the approach, the way is that you can't explicitly thank a person. Ramosha speaks there in the tshuva about somebody who printed a sefer, and there were people who lent the money or gave him donations to print the sefer. So Ramosha says you can't explicitly say thank you, but you can mention that these people are good people that have been helpful and have done a mitzvah in helping a sefer being printed. There's a very famous story between Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal and Rav Yeruchim, the mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva. The yeshiva, the Bakram in yeshiva, as they would go home for Pesach or for the Yom Tovim, the halacha is that they would, Rabbi Yerucham had a fund that he would lend money to these Bakrim, and when they came home, after being at the parents' home, they paid him back. So it was one time that Reb Shimon Schwab Zitzal was traveling from the Mir Yeshiva back home to Germany. And he came to Rabbi Yerucham, and Rabbi Yerucham lent the money, and he said, thank you. And Rabbi Yerucham was upset, because Rabbi Yerucham's attitude was, we just learned, that you're not supposed to say thank you. Having said that, so the next year, when this happened again, this time, Rabbi Shimon Schwab Zitzal did not say thank you. And Rabbi Yerucham got upset again. So he said to Rabbi Yerucham, it doesn't seem that there's any way for me to satisfy you. Last year when I said thank you, you said I'm wrong. And this year when I don't say thank you, you say I'm wrong again. So Rabbi Yerucham said to him, you're not supposed to say thank you, as our Gemara is saying. But what you are supposed to do is show that you mean to say thank you, just the halacha doesn't let you say the thank you. That's the approach one should have to this subject. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that let's say somebody borrowed money from someone else, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and now he needs an extension on the loan. He has to be very careful how he asks. He has to ask for an extension, but be careful not to say thank you. And I saw that the Sefer Bris Yehuda discusses, well, what's going to be the halacha if someone borrowed money and he doesn't want that the person whom he owes money to should pressure him to pay back. So he acts nicely towards him. So the Bris Yehuda, Rav Yaakov Blaizetzal, says as follows. If you're acting in that manner towards the person that owes you money because you don't want him to pressure you to pay back, he says that's permissible. But if you're acting that way towards the person who you owe money to because you want him to give you an extension on the loan, so then he says that would not be mutter, because acting that way to get an extension on a loan would be in the category of ribis devarim, and we're learning here in our Mishnah that, of course, ribis devarim is aser. Says the Mishnah, ve'ela ivrim b'loisasei, the following individuals violate a mitzvah loisasei when there's a ribis transaction, hamava, hamoiva, va'arav, the guarantor, ve'edim, and the people who are signed on the shtar. V'cham imrim, the cham hold that af ha'soifer, the cipher who transcribes the loan, over mishum leis as kaspecha leisitan leibeneshach, mishum altikch mimita neshach v'tarbis, mishum leisia leikenoisha, mishum leisasimen alav neshach, uf mishum lefnei evil leisitim mechshol v'yireisim elakecha mishem elakecha v'yireisim elakecha ani Hashem. Five lavin for one ribbis. If somebody owes somebody else money, and this is an individual that till now ain't a regal lahagdam leshalom, the relationship that exists between these two people is not where he even greets him. Now all of a sudden I owe him money, so I start to greet him. So it says the Mishnah also lahagdam leshalom. I may not do so. Tamalayim neshach kaldava sheyishach. From here we learn, Ashiyishach comes to say, Afilu Dibur, even saying a thank you or greeting him, which normally would not have done, is in the category of ribis. Ve'lo Ivrim, Amar Abayas. So the Mishnah identified five lavin. So says the Mishnah in explaining what it was just learned. Hamalva, the person who lends the money, Ivim Kulin, violates all the lavin. Haloiva, the person who's borrowing the money, either he violates the lav om leisashach lachicha, and the lav o lachicha leisashach lufnei ivel leisitim mechshol. And then says the Gemara that ha'edim, and when we speak about the edim, says the Mishnah, Eina Ivrim, Ela Mishum, Lysosimil of Sheshach, they only have that laugh. Tanya, Reb Shimon, Omer, Malve Ribis Yosef Mashavichim, people who lend money on Ribis, more than they think that they earn because of the Ribis, Mafsidin, they lose because of the Aveir, because it goes back to a Gemara that we learned on Daf Ayin Aleph, that somebody who lends money on Ribis, Nechosreim Mismaitetim, they're going to lose the money. And the Achsam Soif explains that even though normally when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes somebody, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes somebody, Mida Kenegem Mida, when it comes to Ribis, Rachman Atzlan, he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the person even more than the Aveira that he did. Because he says, what is the whole concept of Ribis? The whole concept of Ribis is that you're paying more than you borrowed. And therefore, when it comes to getting punished, you're going to get punished even more than you're going to get punished even more than what you did. V'loyoid, furthermore, Shemesim Moshe Rabbeinu v'chacham v'terasai emes, I mean, this is euphemistically, they're treating the Torah as if it's not to be expected. Imrim, Eloi Dei Moshe Rabbeinu, because what they're saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't smart. Because had Moshe Rabbeinu been a smart person, he would recognize Sheirevach B'Dever, how much profit one can make on Ribis, and Lo Yekosvoi, he would have never put it into the Torah. But we recognize that all the money that we have is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there's nothing to be concerned when it comes to Ribis. Kiyasa Rav Dibi, Amar Menayin, L'Nosh B'Chaver Mona, if I ask somebody to pay me back what he owes, V'Yedei She'eloi, and I am aware that the person who owes me the money does not have the ability to pay me back, She'osa Lav L'Fonav, I shouldn't even walk in front of him, Tamaloimer L'Si'eloi K'noshim. Rav Ami Rav Asi Damri Tavayu, Kiladona B'Shnei Dinim, somebody who acts that way is like punishing the person, putting him through terrible pain. Shenemar hakafta l'rishenu banu be'esha b'mayim. So here the Gemara just taught us a very, very important halacha, that if somebody owes you money, and you know that he doesn't have the ability to pay you back, you have to be careful not to cause him the pain that comes with asking him for what he owes you. So the Michas Chinuch discusses, what does this mean? Does this mean only in a case where I know for certain that he doesn't have the ability to pay me back? Or if I don't know? So he suggests that if we're learning now that there's an Issa Deraisa to press somebody for money to pay you back when he doesn't have the ability, so if you don't know, it should be a Safek Deraisa. And we know what Allah is, that whenever we have a Safek Deraisa, we have to go L'chumra. So Miram Shik says that there's a difference when something is a Safek Isser. I don't know if I don't know if the piece of meat I'm eating is kosher or not kosher. Whereas our Gemara, the halacha is that if the loiva has the ability to pay back, so on one hand, if he doesn't have the ability to pay back, as the Gemara just described, I'm doing an Aveira. On the other hand, if he has the ability to pay me back, and he doesn't pay me back, there's a locha, a priest bal chayiv mitzvah, that somebody who owes money is supposed to pay back the money that he owes. And because of that, he says that because you have these two sfeikas that are coexisting, if you don't know for certain that he doesn't have the ability to pay you back, you'll have to ask him. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, in his Sefer Mishmeres Chaim, has a different approach to this question. And he suggests that what the Gemara says, when the Gemara says here is that you're not allowed to ask for somebody money that doesn't have the ability to pay you back, says Rav Scheinberg, that's only in a way of letzaroi, to cause him anguish. But if I'm not causing him anguish, I'm just asking, please pay what you owe me, then he says it's permissible. Why is it considered bonu be'esh or b'mayim? So it goes back to something that we discussed earlier in our Masechta. Because when we discussed the halacha of hamal b'pnei chaveroi, we said, why is it called hamal b'pnei chaveroi? Because you make his face red and then white. When you press somebody to pay you back, and he doesn't have the ability to pay you back, so first his face turns red, eish, and then his face turns white, mayim. I'm going to the Marav. Somebody who has money, and he lends money without Adam being there, he's doing because if the person will deny or forget, he will cause him not to pay back what he owes. Rishlokish says, Gairim klola la'atzmai. He brings cursed himself. Shenema, ta'alam nesov se'isheka doivris atzadik asak. What's going to happen is you're going to say this person owes me money and you don't, and he doesn't pay me back, so people are going to speak about him that he's not a good person. The Chofetz Chaim said that he once was in a city and it was very common when they didn't have banks and safe. So he used to come to the person that you stayed by, he would leave the money with his host. So Chofetz Chaim once came to somebody's house for Shabbos, and he asked the host to please hold his money. Matzoy Shabbos, Chofetz Chaim is leaving, and he doesn't ask the host to please return the money. And the host sees that the Chofetz Chaim left money with him and is leaving without asking for his money back. And he starts chasing, running after that wagon in which the Chofetz Chaim was to get back the money. And he finally catches up and he turns around to the Chofetz Chaim, didn't you leave money with me? And why don't you ask for your money back? So the Chofetz Chaim said, well, we just learned in our Gemara, that if you should only lend money with Edom. So when I came and I left money with you, there were no Edom. So since there were no Edom, and I didn't want to violate what it said in the Gemara, so what I did was, said the Chofetz Chaim, on the spot, I was mafker all the money. So the money is not mine, and that's why I'm not asking for the money back. So the person said, you know what? I'm also mafka the money. I'm also being mafka the money. And since I'm being mafka the money, so now you're not taking money from me. It's just taking money from Hefker. The Gross says, the Pasuk says, Im kesef talva es ami. As ami, says the Gemara, you should only, as our Gemara just said, you should only lend the money in front of Edom. But that's when it comes to lending money. So says the Gra, the Torah is teaching us, when you lend money and you want to do it the proper way, as Ami, you should do it in front of other people. But when you're giving tzedakah, as Ha'ani, when you're giving tzedakah to Ha'ani, Imach, there should be no one else. Because the proper way of giving tzedakah, says the Gra, as we know, is that it should only be given quietly, matan b'seser. So the Torah is teaching us both ways. Amalei Rabbanu l'Ravashi, Kamakai Ravina Kamad Rabbanu. Ravina is careful to fulfill everything Chazal said. Sholachlei, Pahadi Pani Demal Shabsa. He sent them Erev Shabbos in the evening. Lishdali Mar Asar Zizi. Could you please send with the Shliach 10 zuz. The Sramali Katina the Aralam Hizban. I have a small piece of property I could buy. Shalachle, Sravina Center of Ashi. Naisi Mar Sahadi. Please send Edim. The Nichtava Ksava. And we'll record it. Shalachle Afala Anon Nami. So he said to him, you're concerned that I'm not going to pay you back? That even when it comes to me, you're going to have to record it? Shalachle, Sravina respond, if anything, by you, I need to be more concerned with anyone else. Why? Koshkein,
the Mar, certainly you, the Tarbiger, say you're always busy learning, and Mishtali, you're going to forget that you owe me money and won't pay me back, and Goyim Klaw Lala Atzma. So even when you lend money to a Talmud Chacham, who's certainly not someone we suspect of stealing or denying a loan, we have to be concerned that you're going to forget. Demiri asks, even though lending money in front of Adam helps, but if the person wants to say that though we're concerned, so what? How will this help? We should be concerned that the person who borrowed the money will just say, Parati, I already paid it back. And because of this, the Meiri says, what the Gemara here means to say is not only should the loan take place in front of Adam, but Al Tafri Eini Ella Be'Adam. That means that you should only pay back also in front of Adam. However, the Lecha Mishnah disagrees with the Meiri. And he says that a person might forget that he borrowed money, but that a person will forget that he borrowed money and didn't pay you back, that we're not concerned for. The Tumim says a different pshat. The Tumim says, what's going to happen? The person is not going to remember if he paid you back or not. Says the Tumim that the halacha is that if the person who owes money cannot say with full definitively the halacha that he knows that he paid back, so then he still has to pay back. And therefore, we're only concerned about the actual loan, but nothing else. The Marshag, the Shal's Chuvus Marshag, Chele Beis Simen Kof, discusses that why do we find that people lend money and they do it without Adam. So he says that the way to understand our Gemara is that the Gemara doesn't mean it's Isser Gomer. Daruch HaShulchan says, he says that our Gemara is only regarding an individual who I have no experience with. But if I have experience that this person is very honest, and if he owes me money, he will certainly pay me back, says Daruch HaShulchan, then the Gemara's requirement doesn't exist. And then I saw another pshat that we know that Chazal indicated that there's a halacha of Shavuos Heses. Once Chazal instituted the Shavuos Heses, that somebody denies owing me money, and so Midaraisi only has to swear when it's a Maidah B'Mixas. But once Chazal instituted the Shavuos Heses, so then we don't have to have Eidim for every loan. Tana Rabbana Shloisha, Tzayakim, the three individuals that cry out, Vein and Enim, they cause themselves the predicament they find themselves. Ela, Mishesh Lemos, somebody has money, Umava, and Sabale Adim, the case that we just discussed, he lends money without Adim. The Kaina Adam La'atzmai, which we'll see in a moment. Umishesh to Mishal Slov, his wife, he's subservient to his wife. Kaina Adam La'atzmai Mahi, Ikadam Ratol Nechosub Nachri. We've learned that people try to come up with different subterfuges that people should not believe they have money. So this person tells everybody, the money you think is mine really belongs to the Nachri. And then the Nachri hears what he said. And now the Nachri says, well, you're telling everybody that this money is mine, so give me my money. And that person now will go to Bezdin, but Bezdin won't be able to help him. Somebody who distributes all his money to his children in his lifetime, and then the children take that money, and he is left without somebody, without a means of support. Where he has problems in the city that he lives in, and instead of just moving, he doesn't go to someone else. The Rabbeinu Chananel says that Mish Ishta Mishal Salav is a person who only married his wife for money. A person who only got married for money, what's going to happen at the end is that Ishtoi Mishal Salav. The Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, there was once an individual who came to Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan and said that
since he wants to become wealthy, living in Lithuania, it's not likely that he's going to get wealthy. So he wants to move to America where he'll get wealthy. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said, when may somebody move? If it's bishle lahay masa, he's finding it difficult where he is. But if he doesn't find it difficult where he lives, then he has no right to move. The Sefer Kerem Shloim explains that the Gemara says Gimel Tzoyakim, and Rashi says that Bebezdin Shamata, which means to say like this. One of the examples he said is Ishta Meshelsalov, somebody whose wife rules over him. So Midaraisa, one can divorce his wife, Bal Korcha, even against her will. But we know throughout Shas that the halacha is that one cannot divorce his wife. So that's why Rashi said, Bebezdin Shamata. In Bezdin, they won't let him divorce his wife without her consent. And that's why he remains from the individuals of Tzayaka Veinenim. And I saw that the Alta from Kelim says that the last example we gave is Manda Bishle Bahai Masa. If he's having difficulty in this place, and that's the proof that he should move elsewhere. So the Alta from Kelim says that what is the lesson of this Gemara? He says the lesson of this piece of Gemara is the lesson of Hashgacha Pratis. If somebody is suffering where he lives, it's not coincidental. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending him a message that you're not happy where you are because I want you to live elsewhere. And that's perhaps also the lesson of this whole perek. The lesson of the whole perek of Ribbis, as we've said so many times in Shiurim, and Ashurim, is that a person should realize that his panasa is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His panasa is not because I'm going to charge interest and that's I'm going to get wealthier. That's why the perek ends with that lesson. The perek ends with the lesson that everything is with Hashgacha Pratis. And everything that happens or doesn't happen to us is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen or not to happen. And therefore, we should believe and live our lives with Amunah, and that's the best way to have panos benachs berchava. Hadron loch ezoneshach, hadron loch ezoneshach, hadron loch ezoneshach.